This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. In studio with us today is Elaine LaBerge. Through CMHA, or the Canadian Mental Health Association, the Prince George branch of the organization is a successful recipient of $75,000 in grant funding. Mm-hmm. And you came to us from Edmonton and Victoria, and now you are here in northern interior British Columbia.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome. After only roughly a year at the helm here in Prince George, you've managed to secure this grant.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many directions that the CMHA could go with that revenue, but what is this for? What direction are you taking it?
Well, one of the critical pieces of the work that we need to be doing and is part of our strategic plan and will be part of the strategic plan that we're developing for the next 5 years is that we have a responsibility for the destigmatization of mental illness and done a lot of work in that area, but a lot more work needs to be done. And so when I applied for these two funding grants, I thought we absolutely should play a critical role in research, and particularly looking at northern BC and remote and rural communities and Prince George as the hub of the northern region. We know that this is phase one of research, so we're going to launch this research and then we'll be looking for funding to do phase two to really get deep into remote and rural communities. But I know that not enough work is being done to make visible the experiences of seniors and mental illness. And so that was an easy one to be able to tell adjudicators why this matters. We've got an aging population. And what is that going to mean? We can't keep ignoring it. And also I knew growing up, you never talked about mental illness ever, particularly for women. That was absolutely taboo. So if it was taking that taboo and bringing it into the current century, we still know that talking about mental illness is just such a difficult conversation, and so many stereotypes exist about what mental illness looks like. And then it gets conflated with addiction. The assumption is that everybody who lives with mental illness self-medicates, and that's not the truth. So then the second piece, because we deal with this daily, a shout out to NADA, NADA is our housing advocate, who does such amazing work, and she teaches me every day about how profoundly difficult it is for people with living experience of mental illness to get housing. But there are very few private landlords who will rent to our clients. And we add the housing crisis in with this, the affordability crisis, economic crisis. And I mean, it's bad enough trying to get housing, but when you have this stigma, it's a big cloud over you, it's so much worse.
So looking at this grant and the research you're conducting, you're looking at mental health within the homeless population, but also within an aging population. As you mentioned, a series of things can get conflated here.
Absolutely.
How do I put this without stumbling all over myself, right?
The stumble and fumble I do every day. These are difficult conversations. We are learning the language because we haven't been taught the language to have these conversations comfortably.
Are there some relatively unique factors that are contributing to the barriers that individuals are facing in our community?
Well, I think Prince George, because it's the hub of the North, faces really unique challenges. So when remote communities face climate emergencies, for instance, people are dislocated, relocated, their whole lives upturned. Huge mental health implications for those kind of things. I know that some of the unique challenges surface in the work that we do. For instance, we have our Two Rivers Catering Company, a social enterprise rather, which employs about 24 people with living experience. They are actively contributing to society. How they're contributing just looks a little different. So it might be 4-hour shifts, but they regularly show up, they're learning new skills, they're learning to be part of community, and that social enterprise is really critical. It can't operate as a regular business. Any place that is the hub of any remote area is going to face unique challenges just in the displacement of folks, whether it's economic, it's environmental, it's social, so it comes with unique challenges.
Our community is almost an amalgamation of many, many other smaller and smaller and smaller communities that access our community for services. And then sometimes these people become members of our more local Prince George community. And with that, people bring completely different life experiences with them from all over the place. But here we are all trying to coexist.
Yes, and cultural norms, because I know that the norms of the remote communities I grew up in northern Alberta were so different than when I had no choice but to relocate to Edmonton. I had no concept of city and how you even maneuver and get around a city. And the college and universities assumed that people from rural areas would just figure it out. And that's a big, tall ask. And you're displaced from the world that you know to a world that you don't know. And that was pre-housing crisis, pre-opioid poisoning crisis, pre-economic crisis, all these pre-events.
We can press fast forward from your own experience, you know, moving from a rural life to an urban life. And now here in Prince George, you referred to the housing crisis, toxic drug crisis, the list carries on. And if we add a climate-driven event like a fire or a flood, and it all looks like chaos, right? We have all these intersecting areas of our community trying to coexist, sometimes not all that successfully. Your research, though, is trying to identify these individual pieces, figure out how they fit together so we can better respond to these constantly changing factors, shall we say. Is that an accurate summary?
Yes. And so our goal is to inform public perceptions and to inform policy and really work at creating counter narratives to what mental illness looks like. I recently gave a presentation and folks were astonished at what mental illness looks like. And I asked a question, would you rent to this person who's got this education, this job title, knowing they're mentally ill? And there were people in the room who would not rent, even though the person is educated, experienced, has money in the bank, their perception is they're going to come and destroy the place.
Wow. Whether they're intentional or not, these norms are pretty embedded within
deeply.
Us from an early age, even moving into adulthood, and then we get to a point where we're making decisions that actually affect other people.
Yes.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but how do you begin to dismantle something like that?
Well, I have an answer for you. So a beautiful teacher of mine, Janice Huber, at the University of Alberta in the Faculty of Education, she shared with us some teaching. And it's from Ben Okri, a Nigerian philosopher and poet and overall brilliant human being. Be my honor one day if I ever get to meet him. It was a game changer. And he talks about the stories planted in us early and along the way, or stories that we plant knowingly or unknowingly in ourselves. And if we can change the stories we live by, quite possibly we can change the world. And that's what this research aims to do, is to change those stories that we live by to unplant stories that were planted in us earlier along the way.
It sounds like the work you're about to embark on with this project and its funding, to me, honestly, it sounds overwhelming. Do you have partners in mind to help you get to your end goal here?
Well, so yes, we've just begun and all research is daunting, but we already have a really strong research team. And I have 8 years of experience in research, and I never would have applied for the funding if I didn't have this experience. Counselor Susan Scott is really important for the seniors and mental illness, as well as Dawn Hemingway and the Prince George Council on Seniors, really important. We'll be reaching out to certain folks at UNBC. The other thing is that we really have to find sponsors in kind. For example, folks who might be able to edit videos or monetary sponsors. Everybody will get lots of media marketing coverage because the seniors and mental illness, it's only $25,000. And that when we're talking about creating short video clips and a micro documentary and public facing documents and reports, that's not very much money. But we've got, I wouldn't have considered this had I not had the experience and national award winning experience. What makes this doable, it's community-based research by and for people with lived and living experience.
How will you be presenting your findings, and how will we be able to access them and see what you have learned?
So one of the things that was critical in my research through my undergrad, through my PhD, was making sure the research got out there in real time, and not through academic articles, but through presentations, through interviews, through, and I had limited money, so I couldn't do fancy stuff like videos and things like that. But however, this time around, we've actually built into this, and we requested funding for how do we get that research into the hands of public and get public engaged. So we will have little micro videos that we will post all over social media for people who are social media savvy. Not me. Okay, I only know Facebook and cat videos, but a micro documentary. The report that we will write won't be academic in nature. It'll be research-driven, research-focused, but it'll be in plain language so anybody can access it. And this, we're going to hold public events. So whether it's at our Wellness Connection Center, maybe it's at the Art Museum, maybe it's at City Hall, we will figure out the logistics of that. But the public is going to be invited to engage with this. And it must be accessible. Not to say that maybe we won't write an academic journal article or two, but the focus is on public-facing documents, videos, documentaries, really critical, because if the public does not have access to our findings, then we have not met our number one goal and responsibility, and that is public engagement to change those stories and those narratives about what people think mental illness is. And we can't change housing discrimination if we don't get this research into the hands of private landlords, for instance.
Without getting that information out there in an accessible way, the stigma will continue.
It doesn't end. It doesn't end. Yeah.
For anybody who is hearing this and is interested in what you're doing.
Yes.
How can they contact you? How could they become a partner with what you're doing?
Drop me an email, Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, last name L-A-B as in Bob, E-R-G-E, at cmhanorthernbc.ca.
And you have an office?
Downtown, yes. 1152 3rd Avenue.
People who are interested in accessing the services that you deliver through CMHA, what's the best way to go about that? Can they drop by your location? Or
currently not, because you have to be referred. Mm. We've been trying to hire a part-time clinician for a while. We will get there, but right now it needs referrals.
To get a referral, you'd send her?
You would go to your doctor through Northern Health, through Community Living BC, one of those agencies. And the reason for it is because we provide integrated wraparound supports. So it's making sure that all their needs are being met.
Did I not ask you anything that you wish I had asked you about?
No, but I'm glad I got to bring up Ben Okri. Yeah, it's game changing. Cool. I remember when I learned the next day, I was sobbing. And yeah. I said, why didn't somebody teach me that sooner?
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.